Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm just Terrell. You ever been out somewhere and overheard two people having crazy conversations?
Yeah, well, we are those people. We've been having these conversations since college.
Yep, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast, Married at First Sight, Season 18, Chicago, recap of Episode 12. Be sure to like, subscribe, rate, and leave a review.
You know, it feels like we're in Chicago. As cold as it's been the last couple of days. Welcome, as we do it live from Snowmageddon Ice Gate.
Well, it's weird. I think you got it worse than I did. I mean, in Austin, it was just, you know, it all melted away probably by 12, 1.
Yeah. No, it was definitely a little bit more here. You know, so it was interesting, to say the least. I mean, it wasn't till I think I'd been in the States, maybe 20 years before I saw snow that stayed on the ground for more than, you know, because being in the South most of the time, snow fell. When it finally did, it would be just for a short period of time. By the time you woke up, it's all gone. Well, it's still there today.
Yeah.
Some of it will still be there tomorrow. And it wasn't until I went to Richmond, I was like, oh, snow actually does stay on the ground, right? So.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, Nikki B says it was below zero in Chicago yesterday. I'm still cold. I just got to chill as you said that.
I don't feel sorry for you. You chose to live in Chicago.
And then there's that.
This is why I don't live in those type of climates. I mean, I had 1 year in Nebraska, 3 years in Kansas City. After that, I don't need any more of those really cold cities. Can't do it.
Kelly says, hi. Hey, from Denver. You know, I was in Colorado over the holidays, right, for a quick thing, and ended up in Fort Collins, and I was ready for it to be free. I was expecting zero, below zero, all this other stuff, and God, then it was 60 degrees during the day. I'm like, oh, it's not that bad. Then the sun set. Yeah, when the temperature drops 40 degrees every day, as soon as the sun goes down, you realize, oh, it is cold. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It can definitely get cold at night. I think when I was in Colorado, we were doing a zoo or something like that had like a Christmas thing. This was in 2023. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was freezing out there at night walking around that thing.
Materialistic said, I lived in Chicago for 3 years. Beautiful city, but never again. You know, I went to Chicago in the summer and I wanted to grab my sweater. So I can't imagine. It's like when I first got to Detroit, right? And they'll try to tell me, because I got there in February, and they're like, oh, you know, summer's great, man. It gets up to 80. I said, 80? Do you know what we call 80 in the South? He said, what? I said, spring.
That's actually like early fall.
80? What do you mean? Oh my God. But yeah, it was definitely a good fun time. And the reason why Houston got more snow than Austin is because the content was better.
Did you see that? Hey, Auntie, she said my brother's gonna cuss me out because instead of going live, I'm here. Well, I got pages of notes, Auntie, so just be ready. Be ready.
You know he's got pages of notes. You know he's got pages of notes. Oh, my God. Well, look, let's get straight to these notes. These are pages and pages. Like how, you remember when Biden had binders and binders of women? You got pages and pages of notes. Let's start off with this wonderful couple here. Probably the only couple we're going to get out of this entire damn season. Let's be real.
Yeah.
Camille and Thomas. And they're going to meet Camille's family. We meet his father, his uncle, who didn't say much of anything.
No.
And her grandmother.
Edna. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought it was nice meetup. You know, Camille looks just like her dad. Their smile is just spitting image of each other. And I thought it was great to hear.
Don't do that. Stop it.
What?
Go ahead. Continue.
She looks like her dad. They have the same smile.
Okay.
I can't do that.
Don't do that.
No? Okay. Is it like Maury? Maury, look at that smile. Look at those eyes.
Just stop it. Stop it. You know what you're doing. Stop it. Keep moving.
Saying they look like.
Stop it. Stop it. Just
anyway.
Keep going.
Anyway, I don't know where you're going with this, but whatever. I just think they look like. I thought it was a great meetup. to hear a little bit more about her backstory, that she played varsity as a sophomore, which anybody that played ball, that's a good accomplishment. Mm-hmm. And her dad said that she was a polite player and wanted to be more aggressive. Well, we can see that change the way she D'd up Thomas when they played one-on-one. So she wasn't scared. I thought it was a great meetup with the family.
Yeah, it was a great meetup. It was very cordial. And, you know, to see, I love the way Camille's grandmother was so proud of her. And she's like, yeah, I've got all the newspaper clippings, all of them, right? Every last one. They printed it. I got it. And then said, like how she made sure you understood. Oh, I didn't just get the clippings. I was at every game. Just so you understand.
Yeah.
And we all love those family members that are that proud. We also got to see when they went to go meet Thomas's biological mom, which I thought was interesting. They went to see his biological mom, right? And I like that, as a matter of fact, because we get to get more of the backstory, because we got a little bit of it early on in the season. But we really get backstory into this because Camille asked the questions that needed to be asked.
Yeah, she said, what happened? Why? Why, Sway?
Why you do that?
Why you do that now? Why you do that man like that? So Feeney said that she was very young when she had Thomas. And before the twins, she had a 16. She had their sister when she was 16 years old. And that she had met a lady who worked at an adoption place and talked her into giving the twins up for adoption. So fair. I think that was great that she... Thomas and his brother are lucky to have that. And I think she made the right decision. So it was great. And it's nice that I think Thomas and his brother forgive her, still love her, and she's in their lives. And so to me, it looks like it wanted to be in a win-win with this situation, because it could totally go left.
Right.
When you find out you're adopted, it could totally go left.
Right. Jasmine says, I love the Camille and Thomas segment this episode. It was really nice. It was what you would want to see this is what you would want if you were a part of the show. You're like, this is how I want every episode to go. This was good. Until you get to people like Kristen, who goes, Thomas and his mom have the same frown.
Okay. Camille and her dad have the same smile. Thomas and his mom have the same smile. And what's the big deal?
I'm going to leave the other comment that was put up there earlier. I put it up there, but I'm not going to say it because y'all are wrong. But Life Crew is spared nobody's feelings. I like this episode for Camille and Thomas. Really good for them. By the way, do us a favor. Appreciate everybody that's in here right now. Please hit the like button. If you're not subscribed, please subscribe. Hit the bell for notifications as we transfer over to Carla and Juan.
I just liked what you said.
I'm only going to do it one time. I almost spit up on my mic just now. That one came up a little too far down. Like, podcast over. They were writing letters to their younger selves in a coffee shop. And, you know, first of all, I just want to say, and you probably didn't notice this, Juan is very disrespectful. Like, all right, so you ready to write these letters? Yeah, okay. Well, I got this spot. You move your ass all the way over there, please. Thank you. Bye.
He was just saying, let's just sit in our own spaces. I don't think that was disrespectful.
Why?
He doesn't want to be next to her anyway. So it's not disrespectful. It's just
be
a Tuesday.
Gentleman.
It's just a Tuesday. I don't want to sit by you.
You take this, I'll go sit in the corner. But instead, no, he put baby in the corner. Why would he do that?
Because she's a baby. The universe wanted her in the corner. Oh, so Juan was just listening to the universe. That's where she's supposed to be.
Oh, my God. So, you know, I see here Materialistic says Juan's life story was wild. Tina the Explorer says Juan chose life as a whole novella. What did you think of his letter to his three younger selves, 6 months, six years, and 16 years old.
Yeah, I don't remember my life at 6 months. Mm-hmm. And I can't imagine myself writing a letter to myself at 6-month-old Terrell. But everybody deals with things in their own way. And it seems like what he went through, a lot of that was pretty traumatic for him.
Yeah.
The way I interpret it was, you have people looking out for you, and you were blessed and fortunate.
Right.
And able to get out of a situation with the housemaid that tried to steal them, Then you had his parents trying to get away from the cartel, trying to find a place for them in the U.S., getting to the U.S. and trying to get through all that. I think he's a success story, but again, he feels it the way he felt it.
Yeah.
I understand what he's talking about. When his dad got diagnosed with cancer, my dad, when he got diagnosed with cancer, it wasn't this, there was no laughs around that, and he didn't make it. And so I think he's also fortunate that his dad survived. But for him, it was an emotional deal. And so who am I to judge his emotion, his feelings? That was his truth, and that's bold of him to be that vulnerable and share that on TV. So I applaud him for doing that.
Yeah, like D. Michelle says, I had to apologize to Juan after I made fun of the 6 months old state. But, you know, to that point, because you're like, when he said 6 months, I was like, huh? Like, who remembers that? But there's a reason for it. There were traumatic moments then, right? And that's why. And it was tough for him to get through it. He had to get up and walk off for a second, collect himself, come back, and still had trouble getting through it at that point. Am I the only one that felt that Carla was just so uninterested the entire time he was talking? She sat there with a blank look on her face, like, what's that over there? What kind of juice did they make?
Well, that's what happens when you're not all touchy-feely. Mm-hmm. You don't get it in return when you need it. He's sharing that moment, and she's just sitting there, you know, if you'd have showed me a little bit more TLC, I'd get up and give you a hug right now. But I'll sit here and wait.
So she did get up and give him a hug. It felt like Michelle giving David a hug. There was absolutely no more. Hey, come here. Bye. It was literally that quick. That it felt so emotionless. Or am I reading too much into this?
I don't think it seemed emotionless, but I think that there's something there. At this point of where they are in their marriage, I think Carla realizes that I have no shot. I can bring all the notepads I want and try to learn about business from this man. He's not going to want to touch me.
Right.
And so now I think they're at a point where they're just kind of getting through it is really what I feel, because there's for her to be this sexual, physical person that she's claimed to be in the first 3 weeks and she's not getting any of that in return. I think she's recognized, or she, as Auntie would say, she took the hint. Mm-hmm. She read the room. Mm-hmm. So she's just sitting there just like, eh.
Okay. But like Chocolate Student says, I agree, Yanni. Even as a friend, I would have done more. You see, and guys, that is exactly why you shed a tear every once in a while. I'm just saying, those things you want, sometimes you shed a tear. It's the magic thing.
You got to shed a little thug tear every now and then. Just to...
I said, oh, he's so emotional. I'm just saying, it happens. It has happened, or so I've heard.
Stop.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Stop. Don't do it. Stop.
So, after this moment, Carla decides, okay, I feel like I'm ready to introduce Juan to my parents. But I signed up for Married at First Sight. They didn't. So, camera people, you can't come along. Don't even follow us. We'll give you a little video when we in the car before we go in the house. We'll give you one when we get out. And they said it went well. We have no idea. Yeah. It may or may not have. We don't know.
I respect that.
Mm-hmm.
I respect that. I mean, if there was a little TJ, little Terrell Jr., and he wanted to go on some of these dating shows, don't you bring that camera to my house. Nope. I don't want to be a part of it. I'll meet her, but on my terms. And so I respect that she respected her family's privacy. I think that was good.
Yeah. No, I thought that was good. It sounded like he had fun with the dad and everything else. So I thought that was good. Then they had the meeting with Carla's friends, and it seems that Carla fed them some information ahead of time, right?
Yeah, because I like how it was all out the blue. Like, so Juan, are you touchy-feely? Do you like to do that?
Yeah.
And I love how Juan handled it. It's like, at the moment, no, I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to grow what could be deeper than just the physical
thing.
And I'm like, okay, Juan, you're not going to find it, but that's fine. I like how we handled it with her family.
Did you notice how quiet Carla was the entire time? Like, get them, girls.
Yeah. She's sitting there like, see, mm-hmm. the universe, I told him. He's not doing it.
What do y'all think? I forget the guy's name who was there, but he was married to one of the friends. And he's like, hey, we've been together 11 years. This ain't easy. She can be a lot. However, that's what he was thinking. He may not have said those exact words, but he was thinking that. He was like, look. Trust me, there's some days I don't want to touch her either.
However, yeah. But I'm sure Juan was like, yeah, but in the beginning, you were attracted to her, right? Got it. Does she tell you about the universe and crystals? No. So she's normal, like the rest of us. Yeah. I could totally relate to where you're at right now. I'm not there with her, though.
Now, Michael, I'm hoping that Michael is just on tape delay right now and looking at Camille and Thomas and not thinking about Carla when he says this marriage has potential.
You might want to come back out and come back in. I think maybe your computer's buffering, Michael, because you're way off.
Because this couple has no potential whatsoever, right? By the way, Taji says Carla did not feel comfortable hugging Juan since he doesn't touch her. You agree?
I can totally see it because she's figuring what's the point. Because for her, a hug is kind of a amuse-bouche to the rest of the entree. Yeah. That's going to be the starter. There's nothing that's going to start with Juan if she hugs him. So what's the point? Why touch him?
Jasmine says, Carla, Carla, Carla. I felt her icy energy this episode, cold as ice. Did you feel that too?
I just personally have a dislike for her. Yeah. So I don't really notice. And it's not that she's a bad person that's saying that. I just can't. She lost me with the energy and the crystals and the universe.
And
I can't
deal checked
with
out on her since
then. I checked out on her a long time ago that every time she talks, I'm just like, you're so pretty when you don't talk.
Oh, stop. That's so disrespectful.
I'm sorry. There are some guys. They're just good looking dudes until they talk. And so you ruined it.
Oh, you're trying to turn it around for the chat. I see what you did there. That was good.
See what I did?
That was very good.
both sides. Both ways.
Chrissy says, I'm surprised Juancho went to meet her family considering he doesn't like her. That was disrespectful. Is it? I'm wondering why you say that, Chrissy. Is it because Carla says she doesn't bring people to meet her family unless she knows it's real? Is that why it was disrespectful?
No. Here's what Juan said. That she said she wants to bring her walls down and introduce him to her parents. And he said he's a little intimidated because meeting the parents is a big step. Because he knows he's not interested. And he's like, man, I really don't want to meet these people because I don't plan to say yes on decision day anyway.
Yeah.
And I feel like this is a big waste of time.
Yeah.
And he respects them. And I think that's what he was saying. He's like, man, this is a big step. And it's like, yeah, it is big, but you don't like her.
Yeah.
So now you're stuck.
Speaking of those tears, by the way, Sawandi said women can pick up on thug tears for sure. And Dina says her platonic friend can cry on demand. The question is, what happens when that platonic friend?
I don't normally do this.
Just asking questions. Just asking questions.
Just lay here. Let me make you feel better. You all good.
By the way, I think we have answered the question on Michael. He's apparently still buffering because he has a couple of comments. And I'm not the only one that's noticed this because Prime Napa said Michael's still bootlegging his cable.
He's on his neighbor's Wi-Fi.
Hey, let me borrow that real quick. Don't you dare change your password. I still need it. Oh, y'all off the chain, boy. The cold must have affected everybody today. Look, do us a favor, please. Hit that like button. If you're not subscribed, please subscribe. Hit the bell for notifications. As we move on to this next couple here. No hope. We're in the no hope category right now.
Yeah.
Right? I think we've gotten past the one couple that's going to make it. We're in the no hope category. Madison and Allen, they go to the baseball field so we can find out about Madison and how she was bullied for her looks. But they show pictures of her, and I'm trying to, I know kids are mean. What were they bullying her for?
Well, it all depends. I mean, kids are always going to be mean.
Yeah.
True. But her picture didn't look bad. But yet, if everyone at that school was a few notches above her, well, then she's sloth from Goonies compared to the rest of the girls. Mm. You transfer, you go to another school in a small town where now you're the it girl. Win-win.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
True. True. That is a good point. Did you learn anything about her besides that?
I didn't learn a whole lot, but I feel like there's pieces that's being left out about her mom. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure it's probably intentional, and I can totally respect that. Mm-hmm. But I just feel like there's some pieces being left out about her mom for us to really understand more about her when she says that she had that birthday party and her mom showed up, made a fool of herself. Yeah. I was thinking, is it alcohol related?
That's why she had that issue.
Yeah. That's why she had the issue with Alan. But I also wonder, could it be alcohol related if you're the girl who likes to buy shots for everybody? So I don't understand kind of where they're going with that.
You know, I almost feel like she doesn't want to say that, but she's hinted at it enough times. And maybe that's where her party girl mode comes from, right?
Mm-hmm.
I may be wrong. I may be way off. But it feels that way.
Yeah. Now, watching him throw the ball, Alan is just not athletically inclined in anything.
Mm-hmm. No,
but I like the fact that he tries. He will do stuff. It's like, dude, this sports, none of this is your game. Break out a laptop and impress her with some of your shit.
But he's not afraid to make a fool of himself, which I get and I like. Right?
I like that about him, too. I mean, I like his natural personality to be goofy, be silly, and just be yourself. But it's just interesting that he's zero athleticism. And so everything she wants to do involves athleticism, which has to make Alan feel inferior.
Mm-hmm. Rhonda says, I don't believe Madison at all. it's interesting because I saw somebody also said it looks like a made up story that she made about that. But you never know. Kids are me, right?
Can I just say this? Go ahead. Can I just say this? And
I'm afraid, but go ahead.
Judge me. People.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Blame the vodka. I'm on painkillers at the same time. Let me just say this. I just don't get all that emotional when I hear about white people on food stamps when they were younger. I just don't feel oh man, that had to be tough for you. I just don't feel anything for that. And so when she talks about, you know, Michelle did it, mm-hmm. Madison did it, and said she was on food stamps, I'm like, okay, some people need food stamps, mm-hmm. and that's totally fine. But mm-hmm. I just don't feel this level of empathy for how she grew up on food stamps.
Yeah.
So am I the only one in the chat? Just let me know. I mean, anybody can be on food stamps, and there's nothing wrong with it. People have things they go through in their life, but it's just funny when I hear like white people talk about it on TV. It's like, come here, you were on food stamps. It's like, and?
Does that mean I can now say that word?
Yeah. So can I say it now?
Can I say it now? I know EBT. Can I say NEBT?
I'm just like, okay, you're on food stamps. All right. And you got out of it? Awesome. We've been doing that for a long time.
Yeah.
Without the whole camera crew. So I'm like, not to say we're better or whatever. I just don't feel this emotional thing to hear white people talk about being on food stamps when they were younger. I just don't feel it.
I hear you. Assumpta B says Madison isn't attracted to Alan, which we all know. Which Patricia says, look, I will take a kitchen rehab over a guy being able to throw a ball. So Alan knowing how to redo the kitchen?
Facts.
Facts. Yo, for real. Or you just hire a husband for a day. I can throw a ball. I can't redo a kitchen. Yo, they go fishing and in Alan's comfort zone, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not sure, but there's so much that came out of this one because we learned a lot about Alan in this, mm-hmm. and especially we saw what an ass his dad can be. At the wedding, right?
Yeah.
We learned a little bit about the custody battle early on in the season. But I think we got more in depth this time, and especially the family trauma he's had because of it.
We did. So we find out, you know, Alan Zinn is going fishing. Mm-hmm. And when he was a kid, him and his dad would fish. They wouldn't talk,
mm-hmm.
but they would sit and fish. And so that's a moment for him. It's something he remembers. And he tries to go as often as he can. So I totally respect that. But then you start to dig when he starts to peel the layers back
mm-hmm.
and says that his parents thought having Alan would bring them back together because they've been off again and on again.
Mm.
So then they get pregnant with Alan. They think this is going to be the thing that's going to bring them back together.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering that pressure. And it sounds like they told him this because he said when he was younger, they would like talk bad about each other to him. So could you imagine that pressure? Yeah. Like you were the one, you're Luke Skywalker. Mm. You're supposed to bring balance to the force. right? Yeah. And it doesn't happen. Now you have that pressure on you, or that's just weighing on his heart. Right. So that was sad that he had that. And then the same, he felt like it was his fault that his stepsister felt like she didn't have a childhood because his mom didn't have a lawyer. So she was so focused on the right. custody battle that she messed out. Mm-hmm. So that's a lot that he's had on his shoulders all his life.
Yeah, like Sinan's fan said, that court case was something serious. Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, but he said that. I mean, you know, he doesn't come from, it doesn't seem, because he's got both sides of it. He said this early on that, you know, both sides of the train tracks is where he was growing up. And you mm-hmm. think some people would be like, oh, well, then you should be happy when you're with your dad. And I'm like, no, he's an ass. But that weight on him was a lot. I think that's, that's nuts. The fact, when he said before the wedding, hearing from his sister was the first time he heard her voice in 18 years is crazy.
Yeah. Wow. And she told him that it's not your fault.
Mm-hmm.
She gave him the Goodwill Hunting. It's not your fault.
Mm-hmm.
But he's carried that so much. And even Madison was trying to tell him that it's not his fault. But he's just held on to all that
mm-hmm.
for so long. But I like how Madison was trying to dissect a lot of this stuff, too, and really trying to interpret some of it.
Right.
Because she asked him that, hey, you know, when I met your friends, they said that you tend to date hot messes. And asked, you know, is that what he usually looks for? And he said he's attracted to shared trauma mm-hmm. because they can relate to what he's been through. So now it kind of makes sense why he stayed in some of these bad relationships of people that treated him like crap.
Right.
It's because they understood each other's trauma and they bond over that.
How, by the way, Nubian Mahogany says, wow, Till, you took good notes on Alan. Yes, six pages.
I take notes. This one's only 5 pages of notes. This isn't six. This was a 5-pager.
Oh, you cut back since Auntie told you about yourself.
Yeah, I felt bad. I was like, you know what? Auntie's right. I don't need 6 pages. I can do this in 5.
So you talked about the fact that she tried to dissect and she was really paying attention. And even when he said, like, you know, he felt it was his fault, said, but it's not your fault. And he's like, well, I mean, come on. Yeah, I know that. But emotionally, you still feel like it is. And I love right. that moment there with them, right? And then I thought she had a very reluctant, compassionate moment with Alan. And then almost ruined it by going, hey, don't throw me in the water. I'm like, he can't. You're in the middle of the damn pier.
No, she ruined it. She was like, hey, he's crying. She's like, hey, come give me a hug. Hurry up before I change my mind.
That is not what she said.
Yeah, hurry up before I change my mind. 3, 2, 1, forget about it. So no, I think she just, hurry up, give me this hug. To me, there was no empathy or anything in that. And that's what bothers me about these two. Mm-hmm. Because why are they wasting our time as viewers with this mm-hmm. whole vulnerability crap?
Right.
There's nothing that Alan's going to say that's going to make Madison go, wow, he's so vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And now he's kind of cute and I'm attracted to him. Mm-hmm. She's not.
Yeah.
So why waste our time?
So Robin G says that Madison told him he had 5 seconds. Materialist said, hey, did anybody see Alan drum on Madison's booty?
After I did.
He picked her up.
He did. He gave her the little Will Smith. The champ is here. Da-da-da-da-da. And didn't work. Nothing.
Yeah. And she's like, why are you tapping on my back?
I was going for your booty. Yeah, that's all lower back. I know what you're talking about.
So baby got... Okay, never mind. All right. So they were writing letters to their younger selves. And you talk about this part, because this is something that... Again, they do it every season, right? You let it to your younger self. And this one, it felt like Alan was not writing to 12-year-old Alan as he said he was, but more so writing to current day Alan and leaving a little line in there for Madison about that masculinity, right?
Yeah. He said, so 12-year-old, there's a lot of potential in you. You're not the standard cookie cutter version of anything. Remember, your integrity and good nature will get you where you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
Hint, hint, Madison.
It felt like, because she even was like, so about that masculinity part? Because she's like, are you talking to me?
that felt personal. No, I was just 12-year-old Alan. I don't know what you're talking about. If the shoe fits, wear it. But I was talking to 12-year-old Alan.
And I like what he said in that moment. Because she tried to then, it actually felt like a backhanded question in that sense, right? Because it's like she's like, oh, so people have been questioning your masculinity for a long time. He's like, no, look, let me explain. I was nicer to women than the gangster thugs I was around in the suburbs. But it's just to say he was nicer to guy to women than the guys he was around were to the women that they were dating when he was young. And I mean, think about it. Teens are never really nice to each other, are they?
Well, no, but I think a lot of women and let me pause for a second. I think there's an argument to say that there are some women in their teens that like the bad boy types, that like the thugs or whatever.
You're
else.
Right, only about 99.9%.
And they get they like the dudes that treat them bad. Those are the ones exciting. There are some people can argue and say that there's a group of women that like that. Alan wasn't that guy, you know, but. To me, that doesn't change that Alan is no longer a teenager. You got the nice house. You got the Jag. Where's your confidence with it? Like, where's your confidence with it? You are real. Because a lot of those people that got the girls that when Alan was a teenager, those dudes are probably in jail. Or maybe they're putting cheese on the nachos, you know, at Bulls games. But Alan's doing well. So I'm like, where's that confidence that you have?
Yeah, use that Jag like the bait on your fishing pole. Gotcha.
You let me ride around in that Jag. You couldn't tell me nothing. I don't care about my list. I don't care what any of y'all have to say about my list. I'm in a Jag.
And you need to fill out at least half this list before you get in.
I think, is it Sly A, the one that's like keeping numbers?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can add that. That's number 61. If Terrell had a Jag.
Oh my goodness. Well, we got through the section, the portion of people who are not going to make it. And now we elevate that just a little bit further, right? Because MM and Ike, God, why are they still on the show? And I ask this because this dude signed all heavy into the camera, got it phoned down in his lap, so we got to look up his nostrils as he's talking. He agreed to move back in. Why are you in the car just complaining? Just quit.
Because it's easy. It's easy to just complain, make it sound like he's the victim, like he's been wronged. So he had committed to the experts that he was going to move back in, and now he's like, you know, I don't know if it should, and all this other BS, right? So I have to preface this by saying that I watched that interview that he did, I think it was October 18, 2019, and a lot of contradiction in what this dude's talking about. And I think the dude is just full of crap. Yeah. But he's saying that he's not ready to move back in. He wants to take it slow. No, you don't. You want to stop. Just man up and say, I'm out. Why keep going through this process? That's the thing I don't get.
Yeah. It's nuts, right? I like Melissa call him a B-A-N for sure. Or as Rose says, basura. No, for real, trash. Man. This is... It's so bad, right? Because he goes, we get to see them separately. Ike is with Isaiah, and they decide, he's like, yo, holy smits, I got to get some aggression out. And which James says, hey, please review this sorry dude's boxing or rock 'em sock 'em ass. Yeah. Now, I will say, he didn't throw the worst punches, but they were pretty weak. And easy way to tell, you don't have to punch hard to get the sound that you need, right? When you punch. If you know how to make contact, you're going to get that solid sound. And he was pretty weak on his punches. Let's just be real. All right. That's my analysis.
You judge that every time they have somebody boxing. That's on you. I got
Michael's. Michael has been the best one punching so far. At least he knew how to throw a punch.
And he's been one of the best guys so far.
He also knew how to take one in that boxing ring too, though. So. What'd you think about making up excuses while throwing those girly punches and then having absolutely no accountability while talking to Isaiah?
Well, he has zero accountability. He keeps saying that she keeps asking a lot of questions and that she's too aggressive, which it just annoys me, the fact that he keeps saying it. It's one thing to feel that way, but you keep saying she's not being aggressive, but she's asking a lot of questions. Now, let's go back to 5 years ago, October 18, 2019, when Ike says that when you get in relationships, you have to be able to communicate your feelings, ask questions, get to learn a lot about each other.
Right.
But I guess now you can't ask Ike any questions. And it's only because he doesn't like her.
Right.
If he liked her, she could ask him 1,000 questions. He'd answer them. He's not interested. And that's okay to say that. But don't paint her as this aggressive, bad woman because she's trying to learn about the person that she's technically married to.
What do you think of the example that he gave to Isaiah? Like, Isaiah, so tell me about yourself. And then tell me more. Stop.
Yeah. Elaborate. Because what Ike gives is superficial bullshit. Right. Mm-hmm. And even in his interview, October 18, 2019 on YouTube, mm-hmm. it's crap. It's just stuff. It's fluffy stuff that some people get giddy about and they think that he's spitting knowledge mm-hmm. and he's not. So a lot of what he's saying is just crap. And his friend Isaiah, I don't know that man, but I'm like, hey, hold your people accountable. If you're going to be friends, dig deeper and ask some questions. Say, let me get this right. Your wife that you married at first mm-hmm. sight, who doesn't mm-hmm. know you, mm-hmm. is asking you questions to get mm-hmm. to know you, and that's bothering you?
Yes. Because that's what it is. Like you say, he doesn't like... I've used this example before. Somebody that I didn't like would ask, how'd you sleep? And it was irritating as hell to me. Like, why do you keep asking how I sleep? And now I ask my wife, hey, how'd you sleep? I like my wife. And she
but you like her. Yeah. But y'all like each other. Ike doesn't like him. And again, there is nothing wrong with Ike not liking her.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. But don't paint her as if she's a problem. You just don't like her.
Mrs. Ward said he despises her. The way he was, it was so terrible, man. I mean, and here's the thing. When you know, Auntie said he was full of shit in that interview. Very true. And I didn't even get to finish it because I get so irritated when I hear people say things like, well, I didn't have the whole family, like the brothers, the sister, the dad. It was just me and my mom. So I didn't know how to treat women. Stop lying. Because yep. guess what? The first time you got laid down and got busy with a woman, your mom wasn't there like, okay, all right, son, this is where you put it in. Now do like the dog does on your leg. She's not there giving you the instructions. You know what to do. And you know how to be a man. And there are other people to get that from if not. So therefore, I hate when people use that. Oh, I didn't have this around to teach me. Stop it.
I would agree if you didn't have the internet. If you didn't have internet and you lived just on an island and there was only 5 of you. Mm-hmm. That I could believe that. But when you see other people, you know there's other ways. Mm-hmm. Stop it. Even drug dealers know there's other ways to make money. They made a choice yeah. to do this. You can't say, this is all I know. Bullshit. Look at Calvin from McDonald's. You could do something different if you want to.
it is the fastest. You may be right, but what'd you get from MM and her dog washing? Because they never – did you see a name in all your notes? Did you take a note of the person who she was washing that dog with?
No, I missed it. I was looking for it, but I didn't catch it. Mm-hmm. But I didn't get anything. All she did was just pretty much repeat what's happened, mm-hmm. you know, over this part about being called aggressive mm-hmm. and all that. Now, again, the one thing about M that I don't like in this mm-hmm. is you got to learn how to get over some stuff and move on. You have accomplished
yeah.
and been tested so much to get to where you are today that you're going to let Ike be mm-hmm. the one that gets in your head and hold space. Right. And you're going to hold on to every little thing that he said. He said, I was aggressive. He said, he can't handle you. And that's okay. But Jesus, it's like she can't let it go, in my opinion.
Okay. But you have to understand why. Okay. It seems that she wanted to be married for a while. She think about this. In the beginning, what she say? I was very focused on my career. I've accomplished that. Now I'm ready for this. And she didn't like the dating scene. Let the experts do it. I'll do this. I'm trusting. And remember, she said, I'm all in. When it was right. her and the girl, she's like, look, I'm doing whatever my husband wants to do. We gonna do it. She did not know that meant just sit down and look at each other. But she was willing to do everything else, right?
Right.
And so therefore, I think it's hard for her to understand that it's not, that this is not working. Like, okay, well, what is it? Why? And she's gonna question that. That is her. Ned, stop that. Dr. BW, that is not what I said. I didn't say she's a pick me. Why would you do that? She's not. If you go on this show, you are trusting the experts. There's a reason why Terrell always says every couple on here should just sleep together on the first night, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yes, there is. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
That thing is kicking your ass right now.
So real quick, everybody, I got a dental implant put in on Monday morning. And if you haven't had it, an implant is where they drill into your jawbone and then put a big screw in there and tighten that up. And then it has to heal for 3 months and they'll put a crown on top. I'm in so much pain, but I'm pushing through. But I accidentally touched it.
Look on your face. I thought you were about to pull a one. Hold on, wait a second.
Oh my God! Yeah, I was about to go off camera for a second. Man, my eyes watered and everything. I'm just like, Terrell, man up. Don't pull a one on camera, man up.
Hey, look. You know what though? No missing side tooth.
Exactly. I will put up with this and not have a missing side tooth. Sorry.
Yo, Taylor. Who's it? Who said it? Mario says, damn, Taylor, how old are you? Teeth falling up?
No, I just got insurance and I take care of my mouth with an F. Mouth.
Mouth. M-O-U-F. Exactly. But look, MM and Ike, they actually have a conversation, right? But
yeah.
Oh, is it even that? I don't know if I want to call it a conversation because when it begins, Ike is still combative, right? He's being combative. He's being passive aggressive in his responses to MM. And he's like, well, if you feel like, and she's like, wait, I just told you how I felt. So you shouldn't be saying if I feel. He is such a petulant child. When is he going to grow up and learn how to speak to people like an adult?
Well, I don't think he was expecting M to say that she was thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
He thought it was going to be a big deal. And so when she said that, he was like, okay, well, let me kick this up a notch.
Mm-hmm.
And chooses to tell her that he didn't want to come back to this space detesting her. Mm-hmm. And being in this space with you now brings some anxiety, but he doesn't want to push that off on her.
Right.
What? Could you imagine if someone says, hey, Yanni, being around you brings me a lot of anxiety, but it's not your fault.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's... I do like the fact that she said she's going to treat him like a man who wants to date her, even though he doesn't want to date her, mm-hmm. which is, I'm going to put the ball in your court, sir. I'm not going to call you anymore. You call me. So they won't speak till the reunion.
Doubt it. They're going to be forced to speak again, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure.
The experts are going to Dr. P and them. Hey, real quick. Let's just move back in and talk about it.
Yeah. But I like the fact that they both said, because the fact that I think he was relieved when she said that she didn't think they were ready to move back in. I was relieved when she said it while they were washing the dog. And I'm glad they're not, because they don't need to. I was upset with the experts trying to get them back in there, right? So there's that. By the way, Dr. BW wanted to explain the whole pick me thing, says, if someone called me aggressive or suggested I was a predator, any reasonable person would be out. And I hear what you're saying, but that doesn't make her a pick me because like Reiner says, MM behaved the way I would think all folks who sign up for the show would behave. She trusted the process. She trusted the experts.
Well, any reasonable person who didn't sign a contract. To be on a reality show.
That part.
That's the difference.
By the way, Kelly said to tell you, ouch, speedy recovery, Terrell.
Thank you.
Gospel says it's very painful. I have 3. Kimberly says I'm getting 1 next month.
Oh, Kimberly, run, girl, run.
No,
don't do it.
Hey, no,
you should do it. Just expect 3 to 4 days of pain afterwards. It'll be worth it in the long run, but those 3 to 4 days, it's going to be awful.
Yeah, when you have a friend like me, you have to say things like, all right, don't be an 11-year-old right now. Chocolate Suda says, aw, Terrell, prayers and quick healing to you.
Yeah. So let me tell you about this dude I've known for 30-some years. We're talking earlier today, and I'm like, man, I'm in so much pain. I said, I can hardly open my mouth all the way. And I'm like, don't be an 11-year-old and say something inappropriate. And he was like, what? But he realized, like, yeah, I was going to, because that's who he is.
Well, yeah, I was watching the Diddy.
This is not joke time.
I was watching the Diddy thing earlier. I'm sorry.
Don't make me laugh.
My bad. It's not blame Diddy.
Don't make me laugh.
Let's get to these. I'm sorry. We didn't know we had a superhero in the chat. Sorry, Taji, that it hurt some of us mere mortals, but I'm glad that you had no pain when you got it done.
He says, I have one. No pain. Easy peasy. Hey, don't put down somebody because they have a stronger tolerance of pain than you, sir.
She just called me a BAN. That's what she did.
Yeah, and a PAN too. That's what happened.
I mean, what's happened?
So you get two of them. Michelle and David, man, these two, oh my God, I love this episode for these two because they're going to meet Michelle's family and Michelle looking as uninterested as ever. And she says that, you know, well, I'm struggling in Chicago. This is going to be so good for this trip because I'm going to be so happy to be around people who know me and love me. And David said, mother.
He said, I was struggling. He's like, you're struggling in Chicago? Like, let's talk about that. She goes, no, not Chicago, the marriage. Struggling with you.
Yes.
You, my dude, it's a problem.
It's just you. And then we get to the interesting part. The text message part one. Now, what did that text message say again, Terrell?
Let me look at my notes.
Yes, please.
You are so damn fine. I want to eat you up.
Now, Michelle should have known this wasn't for her. Especially when it started off with, you are so damn fine. Stop. This was not intended for you, ma'am. Move on. Move on. This was not for you.
Okay. Delete. I laughed so hard through this whole deal with Michelle and David because, guys, haven't we all accidentally sent the text to the wrong person at some point in our lifetimes? We've all have done it. Ladies, maybe you've done it too. But at least, guys, come on, we've done it. I was like, David, lie better. He should have said, yeah, that was for you. And she'd be like, what? But no, I did that to you. I thought we had a good day yesterday. We talked for 20 minutes. Remember that with Dr. Pepper? I thought maybe let me just kind of test the waters and see what happened. And you never responded. So I got my answer. Boom. He'd have been done.
I agree with you. But at the moment you hit that accidentally, you realize, oh, I sent it to her. Instead of deleting it, what he should have done was said, no response yet. Okay. Follow up. Should I bring the seasoning? Lowry's or McCormick's? Hey, that way you get right out of it because absolutely right, Robin G. It was a horrible lie saying it was for his cousin.
My cousin should send me what he says. He said that his cousin said it's showing him, sent him a picture of some food. And that was not a woman. And Michelle said, well, you isn't a pronoun I use to describe food. He's like, you don't know my family.
You didn't ask questions about me. So how do you know how me and my family talk about food?
You don't know how we talk about food. I say all the time, ooh, I want to eat that up. I totally do that potato salad from behind. I would do all kinds of-
Wait till you hear what we talk about macaroni and cheese. By the way, Happy Gardner said, I said the same thing, Terrell. It's a bad lie. And Nubian Mahogany said, David should have said, yes, I drunk called you. Exactly. I drunk texted you. My bad.
But I was drunk. I just shot my shot. That 20 minutes of conversation, I just thought there was a thing.
Like, I was just figuring out whether I need to stop by the store on the way home and get some lotion or not. So here's something.
You could just pull the Camille. Look, I just figured, why are we bullshitting? Yeah. We should just do this.
Yeah.
Let's just do this and see what's there.
I just wanted to hear how you would say no this time. By the way, Nikki B says David deletes his message thread with Madison, so he had to go to her name and his contacts. Madison and Michelle are next to one another alphabetically. You think. You don't know all the women he has in his phone. As we find out, he does have some women in there. But one of the things, did you notice that Michelle did bring up Madison's name, right?
Yep.
And the thing that irked me is like, why are you upset? You don't want this man.
Exactly.
Set him free. Exactly. Give us three.
You don't want him. You have no interest in him. Who cares?
Yeah.
He's not disrespecting you. You don't even touch the man.
Right.
Y'all haven't kissed since the wedding. And even that was like mild. Mm-hmm. And then once you found out he smoked and lived at his mama's house, you were done. So let him alone. Yeah. Let him go find his joy. You should be texting people too. Get you some. You know, maybe that might relax you a little bit, Michelle. I'm not saying that you need it, but something.
Something.
But you do your thing, let David do his. But why do you care? Why are you so upset and offended by this?
By the way, Kevin says, the RGRT crew coming up with great lies. Experienced?
Yes. Give me a... I'm 50. I've seen things. Okay. So yes. And that was back when I couldn't really make it up. You sent the wrong text.
Yeah.
On the old Nokia phone. Well, you gotta write. You gotta ride with it.
You can't delete that one.
You can't delete it. It is what it is. But yeah. We've learned some things. We made some mistakes in our lives.
Look, they're going to go see her family, right? So she's like, well, I'm not even going to bring this up with my family. I'm like, why would you even consider bringing it up? And again, I just keep asking, why is it bothering you? But they meet her family, right?
Right.
Did you notice when the family asked, what's going on in the marriage? David was like,
Michelle, you want this one? You want to let you go first?
Second and third. You take this. So what did you think of their whole response to this?
You know, I thought it was interesting. You know, Michelle saying she's still trying to find the romantic part of the relationship, which at this point, mm-hmm. this many weeks they've been in, there is no romance. Mm-hmm. It's not going to happen. It's totally fine. So you're not going to find it. So don't say I'm struggling with trying to find. You're not interested.
She's not even trying.
You're not even trying to look for it.
You're not struggling. I haven't found any attraction.
Yeah, no, she didn't even try to look for it. So I just feel like that's just weak sauce. Mm-hmm. They keep saying that. And then for her friend to say, unfortunately, David, you aren't seeing the Michelle we all know. Mm-hmm. And her friend tells David to give her grace and patience, please.
Yeah. That was bad. But then even when Michelle goes to sit with her friend JJ, this is when I realized what they were talking about when the whole family was there. They were like, well, the Michelle we know, because she laughed and I realized that we had never heard her laugh before, because that laugh is so damn annoying. There's no way I would have missed it.
Hey, people don't like your laugh. So who are you to judge someone else's laugh?
I don't give a damn about those people. You don't have to like it.
Michelle doesn't give a damn about you. How about that?
That's fine. She gives a damn about that text, though. she sure brought it up. Because she tells them about JJ about the text. And did she really say, correct me if I'm wrong, check your notes, please. Check notes. All right? Mm-hmm. Did she really say, out of respect for the marriage, they should wait to see where this goes before texting other people?
Yes, she did say that. Facts.
I was hoping I heard that wrong. My bad. Go ahead.
No, she did say that. But like, out of respect for the marriage, people should try and put in some effort. And you haven't done that ever since the wedding day. It'd be one thing if she was all in after the honeymoon. Maybe she changed. Mm-hmm. But since the wedding and David told her that, hey, I smoke and I live with my parents, mm-hmm. she has been done.
Yeah.
And hasn't tried anything with this guy. So why do you even care what he's doing?
It doesn't even matter. But JJ does what any friend would do, encourages Michelle, hey, call David out on this. And that's what any friend would do. I would tell you, you ask that woman about that damn text one more time, at least, before you walk out, right? So next time we see them, Michelle comes out and is like, hey, so about that text, he's like, damn it, I thought we were going to read letters.
I thought we were going to be vulnerable, no? Oh, you want to hear about me and Madison? I mean, my cousin?
Let me go back to my lie.
What did I tell her earlier? He like, can we take a second, pause for a second? I need to see my producer real quick.
Hey.
What did I tell her earlier?
Check tape. Oh, man, it's interesting as this goes, right? And again, we keep worrying about and asking the question, why is she so bothered, right? Why is she so bothered by this text? And here's the interesting thing, because Auntie says it's about being chased and chosen. Her pride got hurt because she's the blonde-haired, blue-eyed princess he wanted. How dare he? Right?
Well, no. How dare he? Because apparently Michelle's hot. She has a good job. She has this amazing one-bedroom apartment in Chicago that nobody has. There's all these amazing things about her. How dare he, who lives with his parents in the basement and everybody does laundry while he's asleep, how dare him not try to only pursue this because I'm the prize? No, she's not. She's not the prize. But again, she doesn't want him anyway.
Right.
So what difference does it make? And I think it's just her, to Auntie's point, his pride, her pride got bothered. And in my mind, I'm like, go, David, get you some. Do your thing.
I'm happy for him in this case because you're right. Like Prime Napper says, her ego was crushed. Her, the higher earning, living the good life, spurned by her simp on national television is what she's looking at it. James says, Michelle is relishing in the fact that she just turned him into the bad guy after being the bad person all season. YG Hall says something that I've been thinking for a while. She likes that he's constantly chasing her. She doesn't like him, but she likes that he likes her.
Right.
And the fact that now it seems his attention's on somebody else. Wait, what? Because have you ever had somebody who was chasing you and you didn't want them, and then all of a sudden they show interest to somebody else? You're like, wait a minute, but I'm over here.
No.
Okay. Just me, huh? Okay.
Yeah, just you. If I didn't want you, I'm just like, I who am I? No.
Hey, Chocolate Suda said it took a text for her to want to be married to him. She doesn't want to be married to him.
No,
she just wants him to want her. That's
only
all there is to it, right? Because she even asked, have you texted any women since we were married? And he's like, let me bust your bubble some more.
I love this part because he's just like, oh, we're doing this? Let me rip the Band-Aid. That's really fun. Yeah.
He said, let me open up my notes.
How's DMX? There was Keisha, Alicia, Tanisha. He just starts, so-and-so, I met her on Tinder, and we had coffee the other day.
Yeah.
And there's someone else that we met on Tinder, and we talk. What's the big deal?
And you notice how she went to the whole, oh, well, you're going to dates with people. I'm like, he didn't say he went on a date. They had coffee. There's a difference. It's not a date. Okay, well, I mean.
Is it though?
He can't get a date with his wife.
Is it though? I mean. Coffee with a twist, maybe?
I mean, you know, coffee's supposed to give you extra energy. What you gonna do with that energy?
Just saying. I mean, yeah, those weren't dates. Those were just like, in case of emergency, break glass. Just want you to know I'm here if you need anything. Those dates were.
Do you notice how Michelle always likes to throw out like, hey, so just so you know, I do like light-skinned black guys. Because she's like, what if I call up my hoes? And she said it twice when she was sitting with JJ. Because just in case y'all didn't catch it the first time and they edited it out, let me say it again. What if I call up my old hoes? I'm like, stop it. You don't have any. That's why you're on the show.
I love how David got gangster with it because he said, hey, look, I don't want to have this conversation again.
Yeah.
Are we good?
Yeah.
I'm done. I was like, look at David. Look at David. Yeah, I did it. I had coffee with a couple people I met on Tinder.
Yeah.
And I don't want to talk about this anymore. So let's move on. Because he kept trying to ask him, well, what was the picture of the food?
Yeah.
What? And then he grabbed, here's what's funny. David grabs his phone with confidence. Like he's about to show her a picture. Then it was like, yeah, I can't find it. I was like, David, you should have just left it alone. It doesn't matter what the picture was. Why do you care? Reverse it, David. Reverse it.
He should. That's exactly. Why do you want to look at the picture? Why? What is it going to prove? If I'm seeing somebody else, why does it matter? If I'm sexting somebody else, because if that was for you, what would your response have been? Turn it to her. Put it to her. Let her have to answer these questions, right? He's not doing that. And that's where he's missing out because he had the prime opportunity to do it. And that's why she's able to kind of still hold this. It's interesting because she's like, well, what was she wearing? What man notices that?
I'd notice what someone's wearing if I want to eat them up. I know exactly what they're wearing.
Not if they're your cousin.
And David does too.
Not if they're your cousin.
That wasn't his cousin in the pic. That well, wasn't food either. That wasn't dumplings. That wasn't arroz con pollo. That was none of that.
Oh, by the way, Dina says, the fact that Dave has never been to Chinatown is weird. Rose says, Dave Stidden is wrong. I don't like Michelle's behavior, but I don't like his response. I get it. We didn't like his response either because we thought he should have. He definitely misrepresented man and did us wrong by that. And by us, I mean just men. Because show some skill. Because if it was reversed, she would have had a much better life.
He was, the fact that he grabbed his phone and was going to look for a picture. I'm like, David, what are you doing? Because you know you don't have it. And now that you don't have it, now what you got?
But she sent it to me on Instagram. It's not there anymore.
It was
in the story.
It was Snapchat. It's gone now. But I wanted to eat it up. I know that. Yeah. Come on, David.
Oh, my God. Newbie Mahogany says, if you're going to lie, you need to be quick on your feet. Absolutely.
Yes.
Now, this is where I'm not going to agree here. CBiz TV says, for once, Michelle's behavior was on point this time. No, we will not excuse her behavior. It was not on point. Was she right in the way she asked the questions? Yes, great interrogation tactics. However, why are you upset? You don't like this man. Set him free.
It's on point if you are a wife who likes your husband.
The fact that she said to him, point. You do know you're married, right? I'm like, I can't tell. We ain't consummate.
Do you know that you're married? Do you know that you're married? Just want to know that. When was the last time that we cuddled? When was the last time you touched me?
Right.
You
know,
this girl on Tinder, she likes to touch me. And I want to eat it up. Where are you at? I'm giving you, got competition. I'm trying to help you out. I'm giving you a chance.
You know what? Okay, let's be fair. Let's be fair here. I'm going to say this, and some of y'all going to think I'm wrong. But what David did was smart. When he brought up the Tinder, and just a friend. Because he heard her say Madison in the car. He's like, how do I keep her away from saying Madison again? That's what it was. That's what it was.
If I was David, I just looked at her and been like, you know what? Grab my phone, start swiping right. Swipe right on this one. I'm going to swipe right on this one, right in front of her face. That way, you not feel like you're being lied to. It's right in front of your face. Boom.
I love how Rena says she barely talks to the man but wants to remind him that he's married. Exactly. You can't do that. They don't, Sinan's fan, they don't even live together. What marriage? Exactly.
Right.
Kevin says the painkillers have Terrell on fire tonight. That's just natural.
Facts. That's natural. It's just, it hurts. Maybe this is God telling me don't say, maybe this is Michelle.
Yeah.
Just a little Terrell voodoo doll. She's like, oh, really?
Right there. LG Art says, I actually love you guys' opinion on this. And this queen won't quit said, you guys are too good at this. Why? We'll never tell.
That'll be on the guys segment. We'll have a guys only show.
Yeah.
We'll talk about some things.
And there's Auntie taught us this trick where you can tell if somebody's coming in under a guy's name that's really a woman. Oh my God, you guys are too much fun. Shout out to everybody, live crew, replay gang, when you do see this. Do us a favor, please hit that like button, hit the bell for notifications, and if you're not subscribed, please do subscribe. I know I mixed that all up. I feel like I'm the one on painkillers and not Terrell.
Yeah, I'm still got my wits about me. It just hurts. But I'm good. Yeah. By next week's episode, I'll be fine.
Now, I know somebody asked if we could drop the link for the interview that they did. So maybe drop that in the chat at some post show, so you can check it out and see what happened. That was done right here in Houston, as a matter of fact, too.
It was in Houston.
Yeah. And next week we're back with this. Of course, February 7th is Ready to Love Philly. We may do another random conversations leading up to that with somebody from one of the past Ready to Love seasons. And then, of course, February 14th, Valentine's Day, Love is Blind drops. Excited for that?
Actually, I am. I like Love is Blind just because I don't have to wait a week. Mm-hmm. I can get four episodes in.
Mm-hmm.
and move on from it. So, yeah, we got a lot of exciting stuff planned.
Little Eva asks, when will the show be over? Summer. Y'all think I'm lying.
Is it that long?
No.
It'll be by spring, I don't think it's going to be that long because we're already at episode, 12 is what we're doing.
We did 24 last year.
Was it 24 episodes last year?
There were 24 episodes last season. Exactly.
Oh, wow.
We got a ways to go.
Okay.
Yeah. Be prepared. Strap
in. I might get another implant just to...
You might need it.
I think the implant is better than 24 episodes of this stuff.
Oh, man. I'm Yachty Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell.
Make sure you follow us at Yachty Rude, at Just Terrell, and at the RGRT pod.
Yeah, send us some of the random thoughts or some of the bullshit on the internet. Let's talk about it on the show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts podcast. Cheers.
Cheers.